Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
One of the big winners has to be one of the big winners amid all of this pandemic has to be Amazon. Its cloud service has to be benefiting, of course, the deliveries. And today is the day, by the way. I know this is a sports radio show, but Amazon will report earnings today coming up in a little bit. And so the financial world kind of looking at Amazon going, okay, how big would this be for Amazon? The Amazon Prime users who stream are going to get NFL games, 11 Thursday night games. Also, they're going to get an exclusive Saturday game. NFL and Amazon getting together on this. I wonder if the Pac-12 network might be of interest to Amazon. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. He's the guru on the Pac-12 conference. He's joining us now. Am I the only one that was looking at Amazon and the NFL and going, should they be calling Amazon?
Well, no, and I think they have been calling Amazon for a couple of years now. I mean, they have been reaching out to a bunch of big tech and media companies to see if there would be any interest. But the problem is that the content that they have on the Pac-12 networks is not high, you know, it's not high level, right? The high level stuff that's going to draw eyeballs is already, you know, is under contract with Fox and ESPN for another 4 years. So, you know, it certainly is interesting. And I think the Pac-12 would love to have some kind of partnership with Amazon, but I'm not sure what's in it for Amazon at this point.
If you are Apple TV, because I saw the recent report, you reported on it as well in the release from the Pac-12, are they just trying to whet the appetite of some suitors by leaking that out there? Or what's the incentive there for the Pac-12 to say, we're exploring something with Apple TV?
I think it's a lot of whetting the appetite. I mean, it's basically a Pac-12 networks executive saying the Pac-12 networks hopes that Apple is interested in the Pac-12, right? I mean, it's a completely one-sided story, and Apple has so far basically just kicked the tires on live sports, doesn't have a business model for live sports. And you know, without Amazon and Apple and maybe Facebook, if they're going to go big into live sports at some point here in the next few years, are they going big with the Pac-12? I mean, are they putting their bet with the Pac-12? Is that where they make their first move? I'm not sure that's what you do. And Amazon clearly is going with the NFL, and it'll be real interesting to see how that works out with those Saturday games. I think this is a big test for every other league over the next couple decades, is how well does this Saturday thing go?
You've got the San Diego Charger, or San Diego, I keep doing that. Do you do that too? I cannot stop doing that. What's wrong with me?
All the time.
Chargers hiring the former coordinator and quarterback coach that worked with Andrew Luck. Pep Hamilton will join the Chargers. That's who Justin Herbert's getting. What kind of coach is Herbert getting?
You know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would say that Pep Hamilton's best years in his coaching career have been when Andrew Luck was the quarterback, right? I mean, he was Luck's quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, Luck's last year at Stanford, and then he went to the Colts, and Luck was the quarterback. And I don't think there's been a lot of high-level success when he has not been coaching Andrew Luck. It'll be interesting to see how it works at the NFL. with Herbert. You know, Herbert and Luck, similar in some ways, different in others. Luck, I think, was probably more ready to step in and run an offense in the NFL as a rookie. You know, he was basically calling his own plays at Stanford in a pro-style offense. So I think there's a little bit more of a learning curve with Herbert, and you know, we'll see. Hamilton is not overwhelmed, I wouldn't say, you know, when he's been other places with other quarterbacks.
Is it play calling that is his issue, or is he a good, like Andrew Luck, you know, appeared to swear by him. You know, by the time he showed up in Indianapolis, we all figured that that was by Andrew Luck's doing. You know, your impressions of him just as a QB coach, if he's not the play caller.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of fundamentals, Luck was ready-made. I mean, he had it all when he walked into Stanford. So I don't know necessarily that anybody did a whole lot of coaching of Andrew Luck, whether it was Pep Hamilton or David Shaw or Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he was ready-made. I haven't seen a ton of development from some of the other quarterbacks that Hamilton has coached. But from a play-calling standpoint, you know, in the NFL, he's not going to be necessarily calling the plays for the Chargers, right? I mean, he was a play caller at Michigan, or he's tight with Harbaugh. So he went to Michigan, you know, then he was at the XFL. So it's kind of been a little bit of a downslide for him. We'll see how this works out.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, is our guest. I saw in your Twitter timeline, you're tweeting about Little League. What is going on in the Bay Area with Little Leaguers?
Well, yeah, that's the big stuff, right? That's what really matters these days. So the Bay Area has, you know, and I don't know what Oregon's doing right now, but the Bay Area is lifting a few of our restrictions here, and they're allowing children to gather in groups of 12 or fewer right now for either education or recreation. Right now, though, it is only children whose parents are considered essential workers. So I think that rules out, you know, a pure Little League environment, but it is certainly a big step here towards us regaining a sense of normalcy. I have a hard time figuring out how they're going to make enough changes in order to finish up the Little League season, though. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's one of those things. I was talking to somebody this morning about it. He's a Little League coach, and he was saying he's having a real difficult time because he's a coach, and he's not sure, you know, should he be counseling the kids, coaching the kids, and it's kind of like a lost summer for some kids as they look into this stuff. John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. I was looking at week one of the Pac-12 schedule. You got Alabama and USC and Washington and Michigan and North Dakota State and Oregon and BYU and Utah. I don't want to lose week one, Wilner. Is there a chance that if the season's shortened that we can keep week one?
Week one, I think, I would say week one's in some jeopardy. I think there's a decent chance that what they will do is they'll end up going to conference games only, especially if they can't get alignment from conference to conference. In other words, if the SEC, the states within the SEC, and thus the campuses within the SEC, are moving quicker towards reopening and getting, you know, normalcy in place, if they're moving quicker than Pac-12 schools, you know, it may be tough for everybody to be on the same timeline in terms of when they report to training camp and when they're ready to start the season. And so one option being discussed is just to kind of jettison non-conference games, and for the most part, you basically start playing late September, and that buys everybody basically a month, which could be a very critical month in terms of getting everything in place on campus. So it would be terrible for the Pac-12 to lose all those big opportunities. And you got,
yes,
you know, Oregon, Ohio State's week two, but boy, it's, I just am not sure yet that they can start on time and play a full season. To me, that seems like a little bit of a stretch from where we are right now.
If I gave you the option of pushing this thing back a month or moving it to spring or just playing the conference games, and you're in charge of this decision, what do you do?
I would move it. I would try to get the full season in, moving it back a month, right? And maybe you eliminate the bye week. You certainly would then have to be playing into December. It would certainly upset the bowl situation. But, you know, non-conference games, that's some big money for some schools, right? I mean, and this is an economic decision to a large extent. I think that they would play in the January to March if they don't have any other choice. But to me, they would opt to move it back 3-4 weeks and play the full season if they could.
What do you do with the playoff if you can only play conference games? Because with four spots, five Power Five conferences, it doesn't make it easy.
I don't know what you do, but I think Rob Mullins would probably be pretty happy that he wasn't in charge of that decision. you know, that's a great question. What do you do? And what do you do if some conferences do play non-conference games and others don't? It's going to be fascinating and chaotic. And I just think that there's not, you're talking about, you know, five conferences plus Notre Dame all being on the same timeline with those states. We're already seeing timelines within the states diverge, right? So it's going to be real interesting. But right now, the Pac-12 presidents are saying all the right things. You know, we're planning on opening in the fall, but they got to say that now and then just reverse course in you know, a month or two if they have to. It's easier to shut things down than it is to start things up.
If I told you a Pac-12 school is going to make the playoff in the next three seasons, and you can only have three schools that you can pick, which three programs would you put your money on getting in there?
USC, Oregon, and... I'd like to pick Washington, I guess Washington. I would, you know, I think USC and Oregon probably are the two easy picks there. The third one, not quite as easy, but Washington probably would get the edge. It's a great question, and there's so many things to think about within there, right? Returning rosters, the coaching situation, the schedules, right? You need to have the schedule. And those schools do have the schedules, right? I mean, Oregon's got... Georgia game is next year, right? In Atlanta, I think.
Yes.
Maybe 2022. So, though, you know, having a game like that, that's huge. And Washington's got Michigan, and SC always plays good schools. So pick those three. Great question.
2022.
Well, okay.
There you go.
Georgia in the Georgia Dome, right? That, you know, some neutral field that is.
Yep. Yeah, right. It's the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is where they're playing that in Atlanta. Yeah, that will not be a neutral site.
Yeah. But that's a huge payday. And that's another example of non-conference games this year, right? SC's getting a ton of money for playing Alabama in Texas. Those games are, you know, a typical home game is, you know, depending on the school, $2.5-3 million. Those games are paying $4-5 million. So everybody wants to get those in.
John Wilner, you're the best. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time.
Be safe up there, my friend.
There he is, the Wilner Hotline, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Dejanae Carrington will be joining us. That's the sister of Darren Carrington, former Oregon wide receiver. She is a Stanford graduate transfer. She's looking at transferring as a fifth-year senior. She's got 2 degrees from Stanford, and she's looking at Oregon and UConn and Baylor. And she's going to join us to talk about going through that process, what it's been like. Can't imagine what her timeline looks like and the people that are getting in her ears and questioning, well, why are you doing this? How could you leave Stanford? All that. We're going to humanize that transfer process coming up 2 o'clock, right here on the BFT. Our Big Splash is the one thing you need to know. We do it every day.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, this just happened. The Little League World Series has been canceled. Canceled for the first time due to the coronavirus pandemic. Little League World Series will not be played this year in Cooperstown. Little League International announced it. They also canceled the regional tournaments, and they said events will return in 2021. Now, the Little League World Series had been played each year since 1947. There are 6,500 community-based Little League programs in 84 countries, and the organization just decided there's too much at stake. It's going to be too difficult to play these games and to get teams to Cooperstown. And Little League International said it will credit its charter programs with the fees for future seasons. Also canceled the 2020 Major League Baseball Little League Classic that was supposed to be played between the Red Sox and the Orioles. It had been scheduled for August the 23rd. So Little League Baseball is off. That is the Big Splash. It's the one thing you need to know. Here's the bottom line. I was listening to my favorite baseball podcast today. It's called the Baseball Family Podcast. Troy Silva and his wife Danae host it. Troy's coming on tomorrow's show. And he was talking about trying to counsel kids through this time. If you got a kid who's playing youth sports, feels like they're missing out, tomorrow's show, be here tomorrow for that show. All right, coming up. We got Punch It Audio. It's the best.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.